Good morning, sir. What is your name, sir? Speak up just a little bit. I can barely hear you. You're Mr. Gurley. Okay, now, I need to get you to hang on. I need to make phone calls here. Let me make one, and then I'll have one of my colleagues help me with the second one here. Okay, loud.
Hello?
Good morning, Ms. Sunny. This is the Arizona Board of Executive Premises. I understand that you wish to participate in the hearing for your son today. Am I correct?
Yes, I was actually just on the other line calling the
clemency
board, Steve.
Okay, this is the clemency board, so if you can just hold on, the hearing will start very shortly. Just hang on, we need to connect another call. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
This is the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. Is this Ms. Cañas? Hello? Ms. Cañas? We need to get a ring. Ms. Cañas?
She's definitely just a little name.
Ms. Sunyi?
Yes?
Do we still have you on the call?
Yes.
I'm going to try to conference in a call again, and if we can't, we're just going to have to move forward with the hearing. Just stand by, ma'am. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Hang on to the phone, and we'll be with you shortly, as well as Ms. Lee on the phone. We'll be with both of you shortly, but the next voice you will hear will be that of the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse.
Good morning. Mr. Gurley?
Yes, ma'am.
Could you please start the hearing by stating your full name and your ABC number for the record?
My name is William Edward Gurley, ABC number 278-376.
Thank you, sir. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing today. You were notified about this hearing on March 15th. Do you remember that? You signed a form that day.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, on that form is listed your hearing rights, and one of your rights is that you could hire at your expense an attorney to represent you. Did you hire an attorney today, sir, or will you represent yourself? Okay, sir, I'd like to introduce you to the members of the board. If you look on the video conference screen to your right, so the other end of the bench for me is the Honorable Louis Quinones. Next to him, the Honorable David Neal. Right next to me here in the middle is our board chairman, the Honorable Dr. C.T. White. And my name is Gail Rittenhouse. I'll conduct the hearing. Good morning. I wonder what that beep is. Is our caller still on the line?
Ms. Yee, are you still on the line?
Yes, I'm still on the line. But I think Ms. Kanye said that she just sent me a text saying that you guys have tried calling her and she answers and something, but it keeps hanging up.
No, we never. Well, we weren't able to get in contact before, so we'll reach out one more time, and if this does not work this time, then it'd be unfortunate, but we've been trying to reach you, so our distinguished colleague, we're going to try to reach you again. So just hang on. The hearing of Mr. Gurley today, ma'am?
Yeah.
Okay, if you just hold on, he will be with you shortly. I mean, the office will be with you shortly. Just hang on.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse is chairing this hearing, so just hang on to the phone, and she will call on both, all three of you at the appropriate time.
Okay.
Thank you. The other person, Mr. Gurley, that I wanted to introduce to you today, in addition to the board members, we have in the room with us the Honorable Mr. Westby from Department of Corrections, and you can see him on camera now. He will represent the department and your vote officer in this hearing today. So, Mr. Gurley, it appears that you have received a probable cause hearing on this, and that was on March 6th of 2019. And at that hearing, the probable cause officer found, and I'll read you his findings, he found that there was probable cause to believe that a violation of conditions of supervision had occurred, and that you had lapsed or were about to lapse into criminal ways or company, sir. So based on the determination of the probable cause officer, sir, I'm going to move to find Mr. Gurley was delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of community supervision and may have lapsed or had lapsed into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agreed.
All right, motion by myself, seconded Dr. Ray. Agreed, Mr. Neal, Mr. Quinones. Okay, so Mr. Gurley, we'll move to phase two of your hearing, which is the phase where we determine if your supervision should be reinstated or revoked. But before we do that, I'm going to ask Mr. Westby to give us some background information. So just stay on the line, and we'll be right back with you in a second to talk with you some more, and we'll hear from your supporters if they wish to speak at that point. Thank you. I'm Mr. Westby.
On May 31st, 2018, Mr. Gurley was released from Arizona Department of Corrections. Here's a message January 29th, 2019 by ADC staff on a technical violation. He was back in DOC custody on January 29th, 2019 with projected community supervision end date of May 1st, 2019, 0 abscond days. Current conviction, 2013, aggravated assault, 6.5 years. 2013, kidnapping, 6.5 years. 2013, armed robbery, 6.5 years. Here's no prior convictions. This is his first term at DOC. CUIR score, 404. Mental health score, 1. Substance abuse score is not listed. There's no gang information noted. No prior terms of supervision. His disciplinary violations are moderate, with disorderly conduct and violence noted. There's no other arrest on record. His community risk score is a G1B2. I do have status of charges from Maria Gomez dated March 22, 2019 that states a federal was arrested in office on January 30, 2019 for a DV incident that occurred on January 16, 2019. For a Tucson City Court case is still open and pending. The offender is waiting to be served with a criminal complaint. No case number is issued yet.
Thank you, Mr. Westby. Okay, back to you, Mr. Gurley. We have a written summary of what occurred while you were on community supervision. And it looks like you were initially released to placement with your grandmother, Miyang Gurley, and on Harrison Street in Tucson, sir. Is that the only place you lived while you were out?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and were you working?
Yes, ma'am.
What jobs were you doing?
Well, I had a job with a tech agency, and I had a job with HVAC and AC installation.
Okay.
The first one was an AC mechanical. And so it was a temporary position, and then after that, I did a temporary job with Swisher AC.
Okay.
And after that, I got hired on full-time permanently with a company called Ryan Construction. And I was also, while I was working with Ryan Construction, I also got hired as a part-time delivery driver for Papa John's, so I was working both jobs.
Oh, excellent. Okay. And would you be able to return to those positions if the board were to put you back on community supervision?
I'm not sure about the Papa John's job, but as far as the Ryan Construction job, my mom has been in contact with my boss, and she has already stated that once I'm in these, I can have a position with me.
Okay, sir. All right, it looks like you were responsible to submit some urines to task, and what was that, 6 urines that were all negative. So that's very good. So had you had a drug problem in the past, or drugs or alcohol?
No.
Okay. All right, well, that's good. Well, sir, just looking at the nature of the crime that you're in for, and it looks like even though some of the discipline in the prison, There's some violence involved, sir. There's some violence in your discipline, and you're in there for aggravated assault and armed robbery, sir. How do you explain that? I mean, why do you get involved in these violent things?
I don't think I'm a violent person. Unfortunately, I did make a mistake 7.5 years ago when I committed my crime because I couldn't pull my pride to the sides and ask my family for help. So I got the stores because I needed money. I'm not saying that's right. I'm not messed up. I took responsibility for that. As far as my disciplinary inside of the system, I have one ticket for aggravated assault, which I have to take responsibility for that too. But unfortunately, the way that it played out, it was on the yard, the situation that occurred on the yard, and basically I was stuck between a rock and a hard place.
Okay.
Due to the circumstances that occurred on the yard.
Okay, alright. Because it looks like you're very employable, but you seem to have a problem with anger or violence. Have you taken any anger management classes?
I don't have a problem with anger or violence. My PO's didn't put me in any classes based off of my meetings and all of that because she could tell them that I didn't have a problem and I was able to communicate with people well and all that stuff. As far as, like I said, the violence, it was just an incident that happened on the yard and if I could take it back, I would. It wasn't intentional, it was just I was stuck in a situation where a fight occurred.
Okay, all right, sir. I'm going to see if my fellow board members have any questions for you. Anybody have a question for Mr. Gurley? All right, Mr. Gurley, I'm going to go to your supporters. And I also neglected to swear in Mr. Westby, I think. So I'll swear in Mr. Westby and Ms. Sumi and Ms. Kanez. Do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm? Mr. Westby?
Yeah.
Okay. And Ms. was that both Ms. Sumi?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, and Ms. Kanez?
Yeah.
Okay, and I need to include you too, Mr. Gurley.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, sir. Okay, I'm not sure which of you would like to go first. I'm assuming you both wanted to say something. So we'll just start with Ms. Sumi. We'll start with you.
My name is Constance. I am the mother of William Gurley. Of course, this is, hard for me as never did I think I'd ever have to go and see my son back in prison again. From the time that my son got home and I had been speaking with him, for years and months prior to him coming home of, being able to, be readapt back into society. A little bit of background of myself, I am a infield crisis specialist. I'm contracted with law enforcement, so I do work in field with APS, DCS, all the schools. I conduct psychosocial assessments. So my profession is speaking with people, and I'm sorry, this is hard for me, but I go in field, I get dispatched out, and I go in field, and I speak with people one-on-one in regards to assessing where their mentality is, of whether they're a danger to self, danger to others, for depression, for anxiety, whether it's mental health, physical health, or substance abuse.
Okay.
So, and I have been on many a crisis call to the correctional facilities and have done many assessments on young men, women being reinstated back into society. So that has always been a huge concern of mine in regards to my son, whether it's getting them set up with services for mental health or anger management, substance abuse, all of that. That's what I do. Which is why one of the character letters that was submitted from Karen Jablowski, I had her personally speak with my son to do a psychosocial assessment on him because I wanted to make sure that my son was okay, you know, and I had spoken with William in regards to if at any point in time that I felt like his mental state was at risk, that I would do whatever I needed to do as a mom and as a professional to make sure that he got the help that he needed, whether it was anger management, whether it was for depression, anxiety, PTSD, anything. And I have not seen that within my son. I'm very involved with Araceli Cañez because she is the mother of my grandson and also because she has been in my life for 8 years and I helped raise her. And so I see the dynamics with the both of them. You know, so which was why I was very taken back by all of it, because that is not who they are. You know, yes, they were young. You know, he got my son did something very stupid 6 and a half, you know, almost 7 years ago. He paid his price. And to come out and see my son initially struggle, my son went on so many job interviews and submitted so many job applications. I helped him prepare his resume. I took all the skill training stuff that he did when he was in Buckeye and helped him build a resume to make him look portable, which he was, but once they got that background, it was a smack in the face. And to see my son come home from job interviews, you know, and just the disappointment of feeling like he wasn't anybody because he couldn't help Araceli. You know, and then the fact that they couldn't live in the same household. He's living at his grandmother's house. He couldn't live in my home, you know, because at this point in time I was renting. So to not have my son here, him having to be at his grandmother's house, the traveling back and forth and couldn't just be there with his son, you know, and then still having to try to figure out how he's going to provide for two households. And just trying to keep my son uplifted and letting him know that society sucks. And society is going to deem you no matter how you present yourself, you know, that people are still going to characterize you by your past, but you just have to keep moving forward. And when my son was given that opportunity to be able to get a job, which was through a temp agency, but it's better than nothing and they keep you employed, he prospered. He not only, when one contract ended, another job came along, you know, because they keep you employed. And my son was making $17 an hour.
Well, it sounds like he has a great support and advisor in you. You've done a great job.
You know,
so, and he said he was employed. That didn't seem to be the problem. The problem was that, you know, not abiding by the conditions of community supervision. So I don't know if you have anything to add about that.
He was never violated on anything. The incident, the supposed incident that happened, Ms. Cañez can speak on that, which she did at the probable cause hearing, which she did admit to his PO prior to him getting to him going and turning himself. And my son actually contacted his PO after he was informed by Ms. Cañez of what she had did, that she had, if she could tell you herself, that she lied on him, that she called the police and fabricated a story and lied on him. And did not tell him of this till like a week later, and my son contacted me because he knows I work with law enforcement, and I had to have somebody look it up to see if there was actually an existing case, because we thought maybe she was just pulling our strings. And it turns out there was, and I immediately let him know, you need to contact your PO, which is exactly what he did. My son didn't run or try to hide or anything. He called his PO to let his PO know, this is what is going on, and what do I do? Do I need to come in right now? And his PO told him no, that she had no idea what he was talking about, and that he needed to wait for her to contact him. And when she contacted him, I took my son straight back to that PO office, and that's when they detained him.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you, ma'am. Mr. Quinones has a question for you, ma'am.
Thank you, Ms. Rittenhouse. It's actually for Mr. Gurley, only based on the dialogue.
Okay, sure, absolutely.
Now I realize it's an important question. Mr. Gurley?
Yes, sir.
Is it your understanding that you still have a pending charge in Tucson?
I was not aware of a pending charge. I was aware that there was another response to my PO based off of the police report, and I didn't know I've been charged with anything. I haven't talked to anyone.
It's not a question of whether you've been charged yet, but whether or not the charges have been dropped, because what's been reported to us this morning is that those charges are still pending, meaning that a prosecutor's office in whatever jurisdiction can still accept the case. So, if I may, Mr. Westby, what day were we informed that those charges were still pending?
That was on March 22nd, so that would make it
about a week ago. Okay. Okay, so Mr. Gill, you're not aware that those charges have been dropped, correct?
No, no, sir.
Okay, and I'm sorry, I'm not trying to spoon feed you, I sometimes ask. I didn't mean to suggest the answer, but you're not aware that the charges have been dropped.
I'm not aware that there was a charge. I didn't know that.
Okay. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Thank you. And Ms. He, I think so you've mentioned a couple of times that Ms. Cañas could answer some of these questions. So, with your permission, we'll just go to her next.
Okay.
Ms.
Yes, Cañas.
Ms. Cañas, would you start by stating your name, please?
I'm sorry?
Could you please state your name?
Araceli Cañas.
Thank you. And what would you like to tell the board today?
Just to let them know that William Gurley is an awesome and amazing father, first and foremost. The 7 months that him and my son have spent together has been just blessing to my son's life. The situation that transpired to meeting him in there was all on false accusations against him that I placed. And I'm sincerely sorry. I cannot believe that we stand in the situation that we do. But to see my son suffer for something that his father did not do kills me every single day. And it's not easy raising somebody without the other parent physically there. But the past 6 months that William has done his time, he has been in his child's life daily, and I absolutely made sure that on my half, and he made sure on his half. And I just hope that this lie that I told doesn't ruin that for them, because they've waited this long to be together. And I don't want the damages of his father being away to affect him negatively, and he was such a positive influence on him when he was physically here.
Okay, ma'am. I'm going to see if fellow board members have questions. Mr. Quinones.
Thank you, Ms. Rittenhouse. Ms. Cañas?
Yes.
Can you hear me clearly? Can you hear me clearly?
Yes.
Okay. Why did you file a false report then?
I filed a false report on my own personal emotions. At that time, I woke up and
I was a little embarrassed. I didn't know if this individual that upset me on the internet was worth ruining my relationship or not. So I went and did something this evening, and I called my wife because I was hoping that I'd be able to sound that his PO would, in a sense, ground him to be at home, and so there's no opportunity for him to socialize with anybody, because I was jealous at the time. I woke up envious that he was flirting with somebody else, he was moving to meet with another, but we were at a rocky point in our relationship, so.
My final question is that in our report, and again, this is what was reported to the Department of Corrections, the police report makes reference to you having bruises on your arms and legs and kind of your right arm. What were those injuries from?
As personal as this may be, I did go ahead and let the last hearing member know. The first hearing that we had for this, when we have sexual relations, we experiment, being that he was away for 6.5 years, there was a lot of things that we wanted to try.
Okay, I'm not asking you to be any more graphic than that, out of respect to you, but I was concerned that you had bruises and cuts. So it would be reasonable for an officer who responded to you when the first report is that there was some sort of domestic violence and the officer seeing injuries on you upon the report that there was a struggle that was specific to the injuries. Look, this is not your hearing, and I don't want to make any accusations, so to speak, but I'm having trouble.
Well, being that I had these bruises from our relations that we have, and I was upset. I woke up upset the next day. I was conniving. I definitely would lie, fabricated the bruises absolutely to the fullest extent, out of spite.
Okay. And do you know how the charges are still pending in the courts?
No, I don't. I've called everybody that I could call. To tell them, I went down to 3 separate stations, 3 separate times to let them know. Officers have taken my information down. They've taken the report number down. I'm not sure. I haven't received any mail from any courts and nothing like that.
Okay, thank you, ma'am. Thank you, Ms. Thank you.
And Mr. Westby has something to add.
Yes, there was also an allegation information that Officer Villarreal from Tucson PD stated that the victim's cousin was there and saw the offender hovering over the victim, and the victim told him to leave. So the statement from the victim's cousin was also fabricated. Could she shed some light on that?
Okay.
Ms. Hanan, can I ask? So your cousin was there?
Yes, it says the victim's officer, Villarreal, stated that the victim's cousin was there and saw the offender hovering over the victim and was fatally tied to the door of the room. The victim told him to leave, but he would not. So that was a statement that the victim's cousin gave to Officer Villarreal.
Okay, so Ms. Kanyas, what happened?
So it was later that night, and he was playing video games with my son in his room, in my son's room. I was watching TV with my cousin and my goddaughter. William came into the living room. He asked me to go to the room so we can talk. I said no, I didn't want to talk at the moment, that he can go away. So he went back to the room and played the video game with our son. A little bit later, he came by again. He asked, hey, can we go in the room now? I said, yes, we can. We went to the room. We talked it out. Did what we did, and we went to bed. Next morning, we woke up to work at a regular time, regular day, and that's pretty much it.
Good, thank you. We're almost there, Mr. Gurley. Dr. Wright has a question for you first, though.
Well, my question is for his fiance.
Okay.
And man, I'm not going to be as diplomatic as my colleagues. I'm just going to ask you point blank. Who told you to lie?
Who told me to lie?
Yes, ma'am. Why are you lying?
Lying.
On your boyfriend and your fiance, why did you lie, ma'am? You are his mother. Why do you use the term lie? Or falsehood. I'm going to say falsehood. But why did you, who told you not to tell the truth? Why are you changing your story, ma'am?
My story has been the same since I came clean and told the officer that I lied on the first statement when the police came to my house.
What officer are you talking about, ma'am?
Officer Buller. When he called me, I let him know that I lied about the whole statement and I was coming clean about it.
Which officer is that? That's the police officer or the parole officer?
That is the officer, the detective.
Detective from the Tucson Police Department.
Correct, Detective Buller.
And you know, well, maybe you don't know, but I'm assuming that you know that if you say something to a police officer, that's a matter of public record. That you, I mean, I don't know how you, I don't quite understand it. I am totally, ma'am, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm totally lost. How long did it take you, let me just ask it this way. How long did it take you to make that decision to change your story? Did you do it 24 hours later, a week later? How long did it take you to change your story?
The very next day when I called them.
The very next day when you called them?
Yes, if I want the truth.
And at that time, you had made up your mind, you just didn't want your fiancé to go back to be reincarcerated. Am I correct, ma'am?
I did not want him to get in trouble for something that he did not do, correct.
Have you gone back to the Tucson Police Department to retract your story, ma'am?
Absolutely, I've gone three separate times.
I'm going to ask this question just one more time, then I don't think I ask anything else. Why did you change your mind, man? At one point, 24 hours earlier, you said, hey, he did whatever to me, and officers saw that you had some kind of bruises on you, and 24 hours later, you said, no, that was not the case. Why would you do that, man?
Because I realized that I made a huge mistake lying on William Gurley.
Now, ma'am, I'm not a lawyer, so, and this is not a court of law. But don't I know that you, ma'am, you can be in trouble for lying to a police officer. Are you conscious of that, ma'am?
I am now fully conscious of that, yes.
That you could be incarcerated for giving false testimony to a police officer. Are you aware of that, ma'am? This is a sworn officer that you gave this false information to. This was not, you know, just somebody out on the street, your cousin or somebody you just talking to, but to a sworn officer, peace officer, sworn officer, you can be in serious trouble.
At the time, I was not thinking straight, but now I am absolutely aware of what I
said. So you're prepared. I'm going to ask it this way. So you're prepared. I'm not saying this is going to happen, but I'm asking, are you prepared to go to jail, to go to prison for giving false testimony to a law enforcement officer, ma'am?
Unfortunately, if that was the case, then yes,
I'm... Okay, ma'am, I don't have any further questions. Thank you so much, and thanks for being honest with me. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Ms.
Thank you, Dr. Wright. Okay, Mr. Gurley, we're coming up toward the end of your hearing, but you said that you would have something else to say. This is your chance, and what else would you like the board to consider, sir?
Well, I was actually just trying to base off of the questioning and the way that I heard her statement or her testimony was given. I was trying to basically run down on the day of the alleged incident, like her.
Okay. Okay, so what else would you like the board to consider? Because the board's about to go into discussion. We're almost at the end of your hearing. And when the board goes into discussion, we'll make a determination. But before we do that, this is your chance to make a final statement, sir.
Okay, so on the day, I think, okay, so it says January 16th, was it the name of the legislation? That day, I went to work around 2:30. I picked my son up from school. He gets out of school at 2:40. I picked him up around 2:50-ish. I went to his house, which was Miss Cummings' house, because I had to drop my son off because I worked my second job at 4 o'clock, so I dropped my son off. And when I got to her house, she was home. When I went inside the house, I went to use the restroom, and she opened my phone, and she seen that I was talking to another woman. When I came out of the restroom, she questioned me about it. I told her that, yes, I was talking to another woman. She got upset. She asked me to give my son a kiss. I told him I loved him. I left to work. My second job at Papa John's, which starts at 4 o'clock. I was at work from 4 until probably 7:30-ish. Once I got off of work, I called Ms. Cummings. I asked her where she was at. She said she was picking up dinner from the seniors. So I asked her if I stopped by. She said she'd be home in 5 minutes. By the time she got to the house, I was already at the house late for her. When she got home, soon as she pulled up, her cousin pulled up. Her cousin came to the house with her daughter and my son, because my son was a soccer practice while I was at work. And so when they got home, we all inside, we ate, and my son went to the room to play video games. As Ms. Connie stated, she was in the living room. I went into the living room, asked if I could talk to her. She said, no, she didn't want to talk to me in her room. Went back to the room, probably about 45 minutes, an hour maybe, played with my son again. And I went back and I asked her again, can we talk now? She agreed, that's when I went into the room. We ended up, we had a relation that I had, we talked to her, we made it on, we made up. She forgave me, I told her I was sorry and all that. We had relations, we had intercourse, rough intercourse, that's where I can say that this is probably came from. And then I fell asleep, I woke up at 4:30 in the morning because I had to go to work, and I went to work. I don't know when, she said she called the police the next day, or the next morning, I didn't know. Every day I pick my son from school and I take him home before I go to my second job because it's in route, so I'm going to my second job. And so I see her on a daily basis, consistently every day. I found out a week later that she told me that she had to call the police and she lied on me. I didn't know for an entire week. The whole week I was still picking my son up. I was still seeing her every day. I didn't know any of this had occurred. When I found this out, when I called my parole officer, and my parole officer told me that she already knew, and I was like, what do you mean? And she said that Ms. Hodges had called her and told her that she brought a false police report. And so I asked her what I was supposed to do, and she said, you can't do nothing right now. She said, just wait until I talk to the detective, and then I'll let you know we'll go from there. And I said, okay. And then, let me see. I think on January 20, I can't remember the exact day, but later in January, like towards the end of the month, I said the 28th or 27th, something like that, Ms. Rodell or Ms. Ortega announced me, Ms. Ortega called me, and she told me that I had to come in to talk to her and her supervisor on January 29th. And I said, okay, and that's when I reported to the parole office, and they told me, basically, like, I let them know too that this is false. I didn't assault my girlfriend, that didn't happen. And they said that they were aware that Ms. Hines had informed them that she filed false allegations, but due to the fact that there was a police report made, that is, domestic violence, I had to be returned to the Department of Corrections to await this hearing. And so that's how I've been working since January 29th. I was on the streets outside for release from prison last May 31st, 2018. I did everything possible to try to make sure I did everything right. I was working, I was taking care of my son, not involved with anybody from my past. Like I said, I made a mistake back then. I don't surround myself with anybody negative or negative influences.
on that day. I worked 2 jobs, 6 days a week, Monday day off, and the week was Saturday. And then on Saturday, I was in the work with my son, and so the soccer, I was going to soccer games, and my little brother was basketball and football, so I was going to basketball and football games on Saturday. That is what my life consists of. I'm not a drug addict, I'm not a violent person. I know my past, and the things I've done in the past may make me look like a wrong person, but that's not who I am. I have not relapsed into criminal ways. I've never had a criminal lifestyle. And I would just like to say, and I hope you guys can understand that. And I did readapt myself into society. And that's all I'm trying to do. I wish I would live my life as a human being. And if I am released, like I said, I deserve a job. And I just want to get back to the same thing I was doing. But I was working for my family.
Okay, Mr. Gurley, thank you for your statement. The board is about to go in discussion, sir. So we just ask you to remain on the phone. We do all our discussion in public under the Arizona Open Meeting Law. So just stay on the phone, remain silent, and everyone on the phone as well. And we'll be back in touch with everyone in just a moment. Thank you. The board's now in discussion. Mr. Gurley was out, I think was doing well, has a good support system, it sounds like, particularly in his mother, who has a lot of good contact. What concerns me is he appears to have some legal issues, which caused him to get involved in a fight in the prison, and this issue itself. And if he were to be released, he would not be able to have any contact with that victim. For the duration of his community supervision. So I'm not seeing him as a good candidate to return to community supervision. He's got one more month to do. And at that point, he'll be free. So I would just very much put a fellow board members. Mr. Quinones?
I just want to add that based on the fact that there are charges still pending, I have issues with the accounting of the event in question. I'm just not comfortable with proof. How credible the whole story is.
Thank you, sir. I'm going to make a motion that based on information in warrant 2019W0276, our conversation with Mr. Gurley, information from Mr. Westby, I move to revoke community supervision as Mr. Gurley was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse, may have lapsed into criminal as a company, specifically by becoming involved in an incident and that indicated that law enforcement was contacted. And that is my motion.
Thank you.
Agreed.
Motion by myself, seconded Mr. Nell, agreed Dr. White and Mr. Quinones. Okay, Mr. Gurley, the board is voting to revoke your community supervision, sir. We're showing you with a release date of May 1st, so that's a month from today. And at that point, you'll be out. You won't have a parole officer to worry about, and you can carry on. Hopefully, you can return to your life you just described. It sounds like a good one. We sincerely hope that we never see you back here in Orange again. And you know, sir, I really don't think we will. I think you'll be somebody who will do very well. And you have a lot of support in your mother, so. And I'm glad you have a good job to return to. This will conclude your hearing, sir. We'd appreciate if you'd just lay the phone down there on the counter and let the CO3 know that your hearing is over. Thank you, sir. Thank you to the people on the phone, and we'll disconnect at this time. Thank you.